the grind. It's what separates me from my opponent. It's what lets me know I'm doing what it takes to win. The grind beats you up. It wears you down. It knocks you to the ground and whispers in your ear, "Is that all you got?" The grind picks you up. It pulls you forward. And when the time comes to reach down through the pain and weakness for that last little bit of strength you've got left, the grind's got your back. The grind can't be tamed. It can't be compromised. It can't be put off till tomorrow because you don't feel like it today. The grind pushes you through defeat. The grind lifts you up in victory. I don't fear the grind. I respect it. I don't avoid the grind. I embrace it.
Come on, somebody give the Lord a shout. How's everybody doing tonight? Tell the person next to you, you're a champion. Tell the person on the other side, in Jesus' name. Come on, let's pray and get into the word. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for a great time of worship, for your presence in this place. We thank you that you're already touching lives, that you're healing people. And Lord, that we are changing from having been in your presence. Speak your word to us tonight, Lord, that we would receive it and we would be changed forever for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So tonight we're going to be talking about Embrace the Grind 2. The grind, when we talk about that, as I explained in the first message, is really, it's a two-part or idea of two things. One is the daily grind of life, and the other, like I was sharing, is in the UFC when a fighter puts another fighter against the cage and puts all of his weight against him, and they call that grinding or grinding it out. They exhaust them, they wear them out, and they beat them up. And many people in life, they're prepared for the devil to come with the one-punch knockout. You know, they're ready for this one big trial. And sometimes those big trials come, but a lot of times, as Christians, we're ready for those things because we think about that. But what happens is we're not prepared for the daily grind of life. What we're not prepared for are those trials that are ongoing, those ones that are like the devil puts you against the cage and just drags you down. And every time you get up, anybody ever felt like that before? Every time you get up, he's just dragging you back down. That's one trial after the other. You finish one, the devil has another one for you. He's like, here you go, here's another one. And then sometimes he says, oh, you're still in one? Here's three more. Let's do four at a time. How many people know that's life right there? And what we have to do is we have to stop expecting that everything's going to be wonderful because I gave my life to Jesus. See, giving your life to Jesus, we lie sometimes in church. We tell people, give your life to Jesus and it's going to get better. That's a lie. It's not going to get better. You're going to be living to be who you were called to be, and you're going to go to heaven. You're going to live in eternity with Jesus. You're going to have a better relationship with him. But I'll tell you what, it's not going to get easier. It's going to get more difficult. I was sharing last week that Spurgeon said that life is easier before you're a Christian. Because before you're a Christian, you're only one person. But when you get born again, you're now two people. You're the lower nature, the fallen nature, and you're the spirit or the born again Christian. And now you have a war inside of you. Before that, you're just one person. You're just like a dog in the yard, man, just doing whatever you feel like. How many people know dogs do not have manners? They just do what they do. If they got to do it, they're going to do it, whether you're looking or not. And some people live their lives like that. And I'm tired of looking at it. Those people need to get saved. Come on, somebody. We are not dogs. We don't live by the lower nature, right? We live according to the Spirit of God. And we should have respect for ourselves and for other people. And we don't say, well, that's just how I am. I like when people say that, like, the whole homosexual thing, we're just pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. Now, if you don't agree with it, you're a hater. You know, it's not, I'm not a hater. I just have a Bible. You know, I'm not mad at you. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. And like people say, well,
Well, why are you so worried about what I do in the privacy of my own bedroom?
Well, let me tell you something, Jack. If you keep it in the privacy of your own bedroom, we wouldn't be talking about it. Yeah. My problem is when you take it to school and start telling my kids about it. Yeah. I don't care what kind of sex it is. When you're telling my 10-year-old kid about it, you are a pervert. Yeah. That ain't hating. That's taking care of my kids. So take your perverted self and lock yourself up in your bedroom, and I promise you'll never hear another word from me. But when you want to flaunt it, you want to act like a dog in the yard, don't get mad when I get out my hose. Shh, get out of here. Yeah. Go on, get. You don't know any better. Yeah. Isn't that what you do? So people want to get upset about that, and the reality is we're called to live by the Spirit of God. And everybody wants to be free. You know what? That's it. This weekend, I'm coming out of the closet. I want to tell you guys something. I'm violent. I'm tired of suppressing my urges. I'm tired of holding back who I really am. You make me mad, I'm punching you in the face. I'm going to be free. I'm tired of holding back. You know what? I'm tired of keeping my violence in the privacy of my own bedroom. I want special rights. Sorry, this message is not about that. I just have issues with things and stuff and people who can't live according to the Word of God and don't even try. Wait till the third part. This is the second part of Embrace the Grind. It's going to be good. But the third part is going to blow your ever-loving. Through hard work, perseverance, and faith in God, you can live your dreams. Benjamin Carson said that. Through hard work, perseverance, and faith in God, you can live your dreams. You notice it doesn't say, through faith in God, you can live your dreams. Christians love that. A lot of Christians, they love to hear the Bible and learn some new thing so we can change the way we talk. We want to talk about stuff that we think we know, and we want to talk about stuff that we don't live. Christians love to learn something new so we can act like we know something that we have no intention of living. Christians, when they say, if I change, everything changes, what they mean is, I'm going to say that. I'm going to say, if I change, everything changes. I'm not going to change. I don't have any intention of changing, but it's a cool saying. And I'm going to put it on my Facebook page. And let everybody know that I'm a Christian because I said it. And I say cool Christian stuff. I wrote a little article this morning and I put it on Facebook. And it was about not complaining, but about changing. And somebody put on there, God is sovereign. It's like, nobody said he wasn't. What could that possibly have to do with this? Other than it must be an excuse that you don't have to freaking change. Check this out. Well, let me give you a revelation. It's going to blow your mind. Ready? If you don't change, you're going to stay the same. Wait. Let's take it a step further. If you don't want to change and you stay the same and you're not happy, stop crying to me. If you want to change and you haven't been to the encounter, I'm probably not going to meet with you for counseling. We have 18 sessions of counseling in the mountains of Payson for 3 days, where we're doing it with 67 women who really want to change. So don't tell me I tried. Go to the encounter. I can't. It's $140. You found $140 to get that crack. Like, homeless people can get $140. Don't tell me you can't get $140. Ask Obama. Email your daddy and say, Obama. I'm not even jet lagged. I'm well rested. I took a nap. I can't even blame that on anybody except me. Embrace the Grind, part 2. Colossians chapter 1, verse 11 and 12 in the Message Bible. I read this to you last week. This is incredible. We pray that you'll have the strength to stick it out over the long haul. Not the grim strength of gritting your teeth, but the glory strength God gives. How many people want the glory strength that God gives? Listen to this. It's the strength that endures the unendurable. Man, when you say, I can't make it, God will give you the strength to endure the unendurable. I can't make it through. I don't even know how I'm going to. And then you pray and God shows up and says, I'll give you the strength to make it through something that you thought you couldn't make it through. And after it's over, you're going to be better. And like it says, and then it spills over into joy. That means you're going to get happy about it. That's craziness. But that's serving Jesus. Thanking God the Father who makes us strong enough to take part in everything bright and beautiful that he has for us. Now listen to it in the NIV version. It says, being strengthened with all power. How many people need some strength? God is going to strengthen you with all power. Look, it's not your power, but listen to what it says. He's going to strengthen you with all power according to his glorious might. How many people know that's good right there? I don't need some more of my strength because some days I feel like I'm not going to make it. What I need is him to come and give me some power to strengthen me with his power that comes from his glorious might. It's like I'm powered out. I'm powered down. Like I've been in trials where I lay down at night, cry when I pray and tell God, you better show up and do something because I don't think I can make it tomorrow. And then you wake up the next day and you are strengthened in your inner man that God has strengthened you according to his might, not according to your might. You know what? We can't do it by ourselves, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And this is what it says, so that you may have great endurance and patience. Great endurance. That means that you can make it through the grind. You can make it through the trial. No matter how long it is, no matter how long it takes, God will give you the strength to make it through any trial. Someone say amen. James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Now, how many people want to live your destiny? How many people want to live your dream, like for real? Because I'm going to tell you how to do it tonight, and it might discourage you. If you're still waiting for the magic wand, if you've been coming to church here longer than 3 weeks, you know we don't have one. I'm going to tell you some things about how to conquer and go to the next level in your life. But let me just tell you, this message is called Embrace the Grind. It's not called Take It Easy. So if you want to take it easy, like get out your phone and play a game. Because this message is not for you. 2 Samuel chapter 5. I'm going to read this and tell you this incredible story. I love it. Love it. And I'm going to say something tonight. And you're not going to know what it is. And once I say it, you're going to be, that was it right there. Once I say it, you're going to say that was what he was talking about right there. Okay? Get ready because it's coming. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 6. David then led his men to Jerusalem to fight against the Jebusites. The Jebusites were the ones who were in the land before Israel went there. And it says the original inhabitants of the land who were living there. So the Jebusites taunted David. They were in a castle or a stronghold. They taunted David. And listen to what they said. You'll never get in here. How many people know you should not taunt a conqueror? You should not tell someone who can, you can't. Because if they weren't, now they will. I might not have been that interested, but you done made me mad. Right? And David, and they said to David, you'll never get in here. Listen to this. Even the blind and lame could keep you out. For the Jebusites thought they were safe. But David captured the fortress of Zion, which is now called the city of David. You'll never get in here. I'll be in there today, and I'll change it to the city of David. Now, commentators say different things about the blind and the lame. You put them together, they're the blame. But commentators say different things. Some say that they literally took the people who had been wounded in battle in previous battles, they were blind and lame, and put them on the wall to taunt David. Like some Bible scholars literally believe they had like blind people up there like, come get us. How many people know if you're a soldier, that'll make you mad? They're like, we're going to go on vacation. We're going to put the blind guys up there. Because what they were saying was our stronghold is so good, you can't get in here. This city is impenetrable. It's impossible. Oh, man, how many people know? Oh, man, all things are possible to him who believes. You know what I mean? It's impossible. And God said, somebody call my name? Soon as somebody tells, come on, you got to get this for your own life. As soon as the devil tells you something is impossible, Jesus is going to show up and show himself strong on your behalf. His eyes are looking to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for those who love him so he can show himself strong on their behalf. It's impossible that you're going to get healed. And the Lord said, what'd you say? Maybe you didn't see the day I took the 39 lashes on my back. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Amen. Maybe it's impossible that you're going to get out of debt. Really? Is that the truth? That's the case. So God intended for us to be poor. How many people know that gets the attention of heaven? When the devil tells you it's impossible, God shows up and blows up. Amen? Okay, now, so it says he conquered. I think it's the way they wrote it. It was kind of anticlimactic. It's like, for the Jebusites thought they were safe, verse 7. But David captured the fortress and changed the name to the city of David. That's kind of messed up. But then they do like a flashback, like on the movies. And then they tell how he did it. How many people want to know how he did it? How many people want to know how he did it? Because I'm about to say it. It's coming. It is coming. And when I say it, you're going to go, that was definitely it right there. On the day of the attack, David said to his troops, I hate those lame and blind Jebusites. Other commentators say this. Now, remember when David conquered Goliath? Well, you don't remember, but you remember reading. You're not that old. But when David conquered Goliath, when David went out, do you remember what Goliath said? What am I, a dog? People believe that at that moment that David already conquered him because Goliath said who he was. Am I a dog? Like, he challenged his self-esteem. He challenged his identity. And David said, I'm not coming at you with a sword and a spear. I come at you in the name of the Lord. I'm going to take your blasphemous head off the top of your body. I'm going to feed it to the animals of the birds of the air and the animals of the field. Going to feed on your jacked up body. I'm going to chop off that head and get the stunner. And then that's Old Testament trash talking. That's what, like, David was probably like the Chael Sonnen of the Old Testament. You know what I mean? If you don't know. Anyway. And so David let his enemy define, you got to get this. And they said, even the blind and the lame could repel you. And David, instead of taking that as an insult, said, they have called themselves blind and lame. They are conquered. You see how he does it? If that's what you say, that's who you are. I'll conquer you like you're blind and you're lame. And that's what he says right here. Other commentators, I'm telling you, Bible scholars believe that that was David's mindset. And he says, I hate those lame and blind Jebusites. Whoever attacks them, listen, should strike by going into the city through the water tunnel. That's the origin of saying that the blind and the lame may not enter the house. So David made the fortress his home. He called it the city of David. He extended the city, started supporting terraces. And listen, and it says, and became more and more powerful because the Lord God of heaven's armies was with him. Now, I want to talk to you about the water tunnel. It's not a water tunnel. It's the sewer. Now, I like how they call them things like that in the Bible, you know? Like they said, one guy got so scared that his knees knocked together and his bowels were loosed. That means he pooped his pants. The Bible's nice. The house says his bowels just got loose. You know? And David said, if we're going to get in the city, somebody's got to go through the water tunnel. Now, does that sound good? Now, when archaeologists found this city and they started excavating and examining the city, they found the water tunnel. Guess what? It was only 14 inches high. And the water line was 10 inches. Which means there was only 4 inches of breathing space. And they said it was so long that it would take a man 4 hours to get through it. Are you ready for me to say it? If you're going to get into the palace, you're going to go through some stuff. Come on, somebody. If you're going to get into your destiny, you're going to go through some stuff. Say stuff. You know what the problem is? Too many people are going, I don't want to get any stuff on me. We read in 1 Chronicles that David said, anybody that goes through there and does that, I'm going to make you a captain. And some scholars actually believe that it was Joab that did it. And Joab later turned out to be a chump. But he was a fierce warrior. But he appeared suddenly as one of the captains. And so some Bible scholars believe that he was the one that says, I'll do it. I'll go through to be a champion. But too many people are afraid to get dirty. Too many people, we're avoiding going through some stuff. Anytime stuff presents itself, we pull back. We're like, oh, no, that's dirty. I don't know, it's too much. This relationship stuff is messy. I want easy in my life. I want less stress. I don't, you know what? You need to move to like a little island in Asia and become a fisherman and stay single and make sure you don't have any kids and make sure there are no other fishermen around. One time when I was diving in Asia, there was scuba diving. There was these people that carry your scuba gear on their head down to the shore because you have to go down these little paths. And some of them were like 65-year-old women and 70-year-old men. They're so skinny and they just have all your stuff. And I felt so bad. I was like, oh, and they're like, no, don't worry. Just come on. And like, I felt bad. I was like, they're carrying my stuff. And like, after I'd been there for a few days, I was like, hey, be careful with my stuff. Come on, grandma, hurry up. No, that's a joke. I did not do that. I never did that. I never was comfortable with it, but I was glad because their necks were strong. But the reason I brought that up is one time I was sitting there taking a break and I was listening and there was a group of them standing around, like 20 of them. And they were arguing about who was in charge of what. It's like, y'all carry stuff down to the beach for a living. But there they were right in the middle of politics. Just like if they were at some corporation in America. It was amazing. I was like, you guys carry stuff. Go get it. Do we have to have a meeting? But wherever you have, hey, wherever two or more are gathered, there's going to be a meeting. That's just the rule of human nature. But you know, everybody wants to avoid all that stuff. They want to avoid these things. But if you're going to do something great, if you're going to accomplish your destiny, if you're going to be a great parent for your kids, if you're going to be great in your marriage, if you're going to be a great leader in the church, you're going to go through some stuff. And you know what we need to do is stop crying every time we go through some stuff. Like, can you believe? That's my favorite saying. Can you believe it? Yes, I'm a man of faith. I know people can do the craziest stuff. I've seen it over and over. People will not disappoint you. And so what we want to do is we keep pulling back. You know what you need to do is make up your mind. I'm going to go through the hard stuff. I'm going to do what I have to do to be a champion. Somebody's got to do it. I'm going to stop waiting for somebody else to do it. And I'm going to do what God's called me to do. Amen. How come you're looking like this? I just don't even like this message. I don't like the reference. I don't want to go through some stuff. Because I don't give a stuff. I even have that in my notes. You're going to go through some ... stuff. Okay, I'm going to tell you how to do it. If you're going to do it, you're going to embrace the grind. Four things. Number one, do it daily. Say, do it daily. 1 Timothy 4:7 says this. But having nothing to do with worldly fables, fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself. Say, discipline. Discipline. For the purpose of godliness. Discipline yourself for the purpose of. Look, discipline is not once in a while. Discipline is regularly. Amen? Discipline is not I go to church once in a while. Discipline is I do my devotional every day.
Why do you have to do that? You're legalistic?
No, I'm jacked up. I know what my flesh will do if I keep it away from Jesus for 3 days. Like some of you, honestly, you come to church like once every 3 weeks. That's 21 days out of church. You're way more spiritual than me. If I was away from the presence of God 21 days, you would read about me in the newspaper. I would be in jail. I would shoot somebody. I'm telling you right now, you're stronger than me. I can't make it. I need Jesus every day. Like, I have to have Jesus every day. That's a daily discipline because I want to live for him every day. That's why I wake up every morning and spend time in his word every day and spend time praying and talking to him every day. Amen? Some people don't like that. You're like, was he calling me a good Christian or a sucky one? I'm not really sure. If was that a compliment or was that extreme sarcasm? I'm going to help you out if it's your first time hearing me tonight. It's extreme sarcasm. 1 Corinthians 9:27. But I discipline my body and I make it my slave. That's awesome, isn't it? So that after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified. So we have to become disciplined. If you're going to do it daily. There's a quote, anything worth doing is worth doing daily. Anything worth doing is worth doing daily. If you're going to do it, Do it every day. How many people know exercise doesn't help you really once a month? That just makes you sore. You need to do it daily. And some people, like you might be like me. I tend to be a little bit of an extremist. I had a trainer one time, and he told me, he said, you know what your problem is? And I wanted to tell him, I don't have any problems, dude. He said, you're all or nothing. I was like, that's not a problem. So that's being committed. He goes, no, when we're talking about your diet, you're either all the way on it or you're all the way off it. And I was like looking at him and I was so mad. I was like, that's so true. Like once a little bit of Mexican food gets like right there, that day's shot. I'm like, well, this day's ruined. I might as well get as much as I can. That's wrong thinking. Is anybody else like that? You're jacked up. I just want to tell you, just like me. That's wrong thinking. Now, just because you eat something bad doesn't mean the whole day's shot. Eat something good. Eat a little less. But I was like, well, I did Stan's burritos for breakfast. Might as well hit Chili Pepper for lunch. Put you in a lard coma for the afternoon. You're not good for nothing after Chili Pepper. Chili Pepper, they put sleeping pills in those beans. They're like, you will take a nap. You will take these sleeping pills. I'm like, I am going to take a nap. But what we have to do is we have to be people who are disciplined. Instead of being so extreme and then quitting, we need to be people who develop a life that we can live daily, become disciplined daily. It's better to do a little bit every day than to go all hardcore one time. I like people who don't go to gym for like 9 months and then they go 3 days and they put on Facebook. They're like, where you all at? We're the same place we were before, going 4 times a week when you haven't been doing jack for these last 9 months. Where you at? I know where you're at. Sucky. You're hardcore for 4 more days. We're all taking bets how many days you're going to be hardcore before you're no core. How many people know what I'm talking about? Some of you are like, I'm going to do my devotional, and I'm going to do it for 4 hours. You know what? I wish you wouldn't. I wish you'd take 20 minutes every day. It'd probably be a lot better for your life. Then I'm going to spend the whole day with Jesus. You're not going to do that every day. It would be better if you got disciplined and did some every day, instead of just so extreme and then none. That's why life is back and forth. Back. Look, I'm trying to share my life with you. I do that jacked up stuff. Now I don't do it. It's called growing up. It's called maturity. We have to mature in the Lord. Amen? We need some time with Jesus every day. How many people agree with that? Okay, how many people think that you probably need a little more time? Okay, well, that doesn't mean 4 hours tomorrow. And say, that's it. From now on, I'm going to be like Ian Bounds. I'm going to pray from 4 in the morning till 7 every day. No, you're not. 4:15, you don't even know what to pray for. You don't show up one day and you got 3 hours of pray in you. I promise you that. What you do is you build that daily. Amen? And you're just loving God. And if you pray a little more on one day, a little less, it's better to do it daily. Let's do it daily. If it's worth doing it, let's do it daily. Amen? Muhammad Ali said this, I hated every minute of training, but I said, don't quit. Suffer now and live the rest of your life as a champion. Come on, think about that with your devotionals. Some days you're really tired, like, I just want to sleep a little bit. You know what? Make up your mind. Get out of bed. You'll be all right. And you'll be glad after you did it. Amen? And you can live the rest of your life as a champion. Number two. What was number one? Number two, do it with all that you are. Say that. Say, do it with all that you are. Deuteronomy 6:5, you shall love the Lord your God with some of your heart, with some of your soul, and with some of your might. Because God's interested in some. And you did your best, and your best is good enough. Good job, little guy. You did your best. Nobody can ask you to do more than your best. Right? Remember I told you that? The dad doesn't make enough money to pay the light bill, and the power gets turned off, and he looks at his kids, did my best. Well, homie, your best ain't good enough. Get your butt up off the couch and go get us some more money. Thanks for doing your best. Now let's do what's required. Then we need to get the lights on in here. Sorry, kids, you don't get any food. Did my best. Stop talking to me about your best and get out there and get us some money. Amen? You're going to say, well, I did my best. It just wasn't good enough. Well, you're fat. How come we're skinny? Like the Bible says, you don't work, you don't eat. How come people that don't want to work, how come they're fat? Where are you getting the food? should be the skinniest people in town. How come when your best isn't good enough, it never affects you? Why does it always affect everybody who's dependent on you? Well, I did my best. I took care of myself, but you're screwed. You ever notice that? You know, I love the beauty. Like a woman, pregnant women, they're beautiful. They have life in them. But you know what's awesome? When they tell a woman, you need to take prenatal vitamins, you need to eat healthy, and people go, yeah, for the baby. That ain't true. It's not true. Did you know that? Because that baby's going to get everything it needs. It's going to take it from your body. The baby's going to go, oh, I need some calcium. No problem. You don't have to eat or drink nothing. You ain't gonna have any teeth when this thing's over because I'm getting mine. You're like, well, I need vitamins for the baby. Oh, no, the baby's going to take all your vitamins. You're going to be like, man, I'm so run down. The baby's like, you better get some vitamins because I'm going to be just fine. But, you know, unfortunately, when that baby gets out of the body, if you don't take care of that baby first, you don't raise your kids and you don't do what it takes, when you don't do what's required, they're the ones that suffer, not you. And so a lot of selfish people, they're not willing to be all in. But this says, love the Lord your God with all. Say all.
All.
It says all your heart, all your soul, all your might. That's committed. We have to be committed to Jesus with all that we are. That's a total commitment. Do everything with all that you are. You know what? Do everything as unto the Lord. When you go to work, you're like, you know what? Christians are the worst employees. All they want to do is yak. If you get two Christians together, it's the worst thing ever. All they want to do is talk about what they heard on Christian radio. Yak, 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 yak. Get to work. You are stealing from your employer. You should serve your boss as you serve the Lord. You should be there working and not talking. And then you say, well, my boss isn't saved. Okay, well, you can steal from him then. Does the Ten Commandments say, thou shalt not steal unless they're not saved? Then go ahead. We need to do everything with all that we are. You should be the best employee at your job. Amen? You should be the best friend. You should be the best leader. You should be the best Christian. You should be the best. Whatever you're going to do, do it and be the best. People, you know what? This generation, look, I love this generation. Young people, I love you. I will defend you to no end, but I'm also going to preach to you and tell you the truth. This generation knows how to do a lot of stuff and is excellent at none of it. It's like, I'm just going to try things and get just good enough to be able to do it. You know what? Excel at something. I talked to somebody the other day. I said, pick something and be awesome at it. I don't even care what it is. If it's marbles, man, be the best. Like, I'm going to be the world champion marble player. Good, be good at something. I'm tired of you being average at everything. Like, be a freaking champion at something. Amen? Give your whole everything that you are to something and say, I gave it all. In the name of the Lord. I did it as unto the Lord. I gave all that I am. I tried my best and I put it all out on the line. See, that's what it is to do it with all that you are. And then you say, oh, I'm a leader. I don't know. That person got saved, but I didn't really follow up on them because I was kind of busy and I had, you know what? That person might not make it to heaven because you're not all in. Oh man, Pastor Rich, you're making me feel bad. Good, feel bad. You should until you repent. This is not a joke, and there's no help for you. Henry Ward Beecher said this, the difference between perseverance and obstinacy is that one comes from a strong will and the other comes from a strong won't. See, perseverance is I'm going to do it, and people that are obstinate are like, I'm not doing it. Don't be obstinate with God. When there are things, now I'm not trying to get you to do anything except serve God. And to do what he tells you to do. If the Lord tells you to do it, then you need to answer to him. And you need to have the attitude of, God, I'm all in. Whatever you want, I'm going to do what you want me to do. I'm going to live according to the word. Amen? Amen?
Amen?
Or you're one of those people that are like, you ain't telling me jack. And then when you get in trouble, you're like, where are you at? And the Lord's like, I've been asking that for 10 years of you. Winston Churchill, that was for free. Winston Churchill said this, continuous effort, not strength or intelligence, is the key to unlocking our potential. Continuous effort, not strength or intelligence, is the key to unlocking our potential. Continuous effort. That's giving all that you have. That's not I show up once in a while and I try once in a while. How many people know it takes more than that to do anything in life? All right, number three. I think we wore out number two. Let's go to number three. Nobody's happy, so we'll do number three. Do it with joy. Say joy.
Joy.
How many people feel better already? Yeah, I'm just going to make you feel bad. Hebrews, I am. I'm going to make you feel bad. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance. Say endurance.
Endurance.
The race that's set before us. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy, say joy, that was set before him, endured the cross. Look, you got to get this. Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. You don't know what I'm going through. Jesus went to the cross. He had joy going to the cross. Why? Because it meant something. Jesus didn't come to be happy. He came to fulfill his purpose. And there was joy in fulfilling his purpose. That he could say, I have done what my Father called me to do. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish the work. So that when Jesus was on the cross, he didn't say, man, I ran out of time. He said, it is finished. Amen? And it says the joy that was, how can you be joyous? Because he knew his purpose and he knew his calling and he was living it. It said he endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him, check this out, who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. How many people would like to have joy? Then consider him who endured hostility from the people that he was trying to win, the people he was trying to save. Think about what he went through. Look what Jesus went through, and then look at what you're going through. Man, I can't believe these people turned their back on me and they betrayed me. Consider Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter, the author and the finisher of our faith. Let's see what he went through. He had joy as he endured the cross. He had joy even though the people that he was saving were killing him. And then if we can't stop complaining, guys, we got issues. 580,000 people in the Philippines right now have no homes. Fathers trying to build little shelters for their kids, trying to find a way to feed them and take care of them. And we're going, you know what? So-and-so hurt my feelings. I'm tired of it. I've had enough. I can't take it anymore. Well, Proverbs says if you quit in the middle of a trial, then there wasn't much to you in the first place. If all it takes is somebody hurt my feelings that you can't make it, well, baby, you weren't going to make it. You need to get high. Don't waste your life in church, man. If you're going to go to hell, get it while the getting's good. I mean, the most miserable person, somebody's going to go to church their whole life and go to hell. This is just telling you the truth tonight. That's what Paul said. He says, we're the people that should be pitied among all people if it's not true. If the gospel's not true, we should be pitied as the dumbest people alive. Jesus is the greatest. It is true. And we're going to heaven. That's why the Bible says, and these light and momentary afflictions in the light of eternity, which means what we're going through is nothing compared to the glory that we're going to. That it's hard, but guys, it's going to be worth it because it's true. And we're going to make it through. And one day we're going to look back and say, that was nothing compared to what I'm doing right now. And I look at Jesus, I see what he went through, and I made up my mind, Jesus went through it, and what I'm going through is nothing compared to what he's going through. You know what? He had joy. I'm going to have joy. My God is faithful. He will take care of me. He gave me the greatest promise. I will be with you. He's going to walk with me. I'm going to make it through the trial. I'm never going to quit, and I'm never going to give up, and I'm going to have a good attitude in the middle of it. Amen? And if that didn't make you feel bad enough, let me give you a couple quotes. My timer's telling me I'm done. My timer doesn't rule my life. I'm a spiritual man. Your success and happiness lies in you. Resolve to keep happy and your joy, and you shall form an invincible host against difficulties. That's Helen Keller. Helen Keller says, your ability to be happy is inside of you. My life's hard. You don't know what I'm going through. Dude. Helen Keller. That means I can't use the words I want to use right now in church. That means quit your whining. Other people have it a lot worse than us. You know what? Maybe you're going through something right now that somebody in here is going through the worst trial of everybody in here. You know what? And you're going to make it too. It doesn't matter. The person going through the greatest trial, if you'll trust in Jesus, your God is greater than your most terrible trial. That he will give you the strength to endure the unendurable. That you can make it, but you have to choose to depend on him. And you also can change your attitude in the middle of the trial. Doesn't say the trial's not real. It says that our God is more real. Amen? She also said this, Helen Keller. She said, as selfishness and complaint pervert the mind, you almost have to stop right there. Selfishness and complaining pervert the mind. So love, with its joy, clears and sharpens the vision. What we need to do is in the middle of our trials, we need to stop complaining. We need to stop whining. And we need to focus on Jesus. And we need to focus on others and give our life for somebody else. You know, you can't be depressed if you're not thinking about yourself. Some people just want to sit and talk all day about how they feel. Let me tell you how I feel. Let me tell you what I think. Just wait. I got to express it. I got to let it out. It's awesome. Except for Proverbs says, the fool desires nothing but to express what's in his heart. And I don't know why, but they're all looking for me. They think I need to hear it. But the truth is, the answer is not in expressing what's in your heart. The answer is in focusing on Jesus. The answer is on loving God, on getting the word of God and renewing your mind. That's what I'm going to talk to you about on the last part of the series, is how to put the wheels on this thing and how to renew your mind. Number four, we're done right here. Number four is fast. Do it and never give up. Say, never give up.
Never give up.
Say it again. Say, never give up. Because if you don't do this one, the rest of them aren't going to help you. Like, these aren't talking points when you're at the bar. You know what my pastor said one time? Nobody cares. You're a quitter. Galatians 6:9, let us not grow weary while doing good. You know what that means? Let me break it down in today's English. Don't get tired of doing what's right. I'm tired. It doesn't work. Nobody asked you if it worked. We don't do what's right because it works. We do what's right because it's right. Man, telling the truth gets me in trouble. Well, start lying then. That's what people think. It's like, well, doing good isn't getting the result that I want, so I'll stop doing good. No, that's the opposite of what the Bible says. It says, do not grow weary while doing good. For in due season, we will reap if we do not lose heart. Another version says, if we faint not, if you don't quit, if you don't give up, if you keep doing right, you're going to get the benefits of doing right. If you don't quit. Now, farmers don't go out and sow the seeds in the field and then drive back the next day with combines. Let's reap it. Let's get it. You'd be like, what are the combines doing here? We're ready to reap a harvest. I planted seeds here yesterday. Let's go. I'm going to make some money. You sowed it, bro. There's a season. And at the end of the season, you're going to reap it. Well, I don't want to wait that long. That's how Christians live. It's like, well, I tithe 2 weeks in a row. Where you at, Jesus? It's a season, bro. You sowed, and you're going to wait, and then you're going to reap. But we think our Christianity is like McDonald's. They even set up 2 ordering things at the drive-thru and 2 windows now to make it faster. It takes like almost 27 seconds to get a whole bag of fat. It's like 27 seconds, seriously. And then you get in line, you're like, come on! The guy in front of you orders like 2 bags of food, and people are like, come on, man. Would you order food for the whole family? Yeah. I'm sorry, it's going to be 33 seconds till you get your bag of fat. It's true or it's not true? And people want to freak out, but we think Christianity is like that. It's like, man, like I told you, I did marriage counseling with the guy. I said, dude, you need to be nice to your wife. You need to speak blessing to your wife. You need to love your wife. He came back a week later. He goes, it's not working. I said, what's not working? He's like, I'm being nice. It's not working. I said, no, you're not being nice because it works. You're being nice because the Bible says to. Even if she stays exactly the way she is, you're still going to be nice forever. Don't get tired of doing what's right. Right? Because if you faint not, you will reap in due season. Keep doing what's right because it's right. Well, I did it. It didn't work. Well, quit then, quitter. See what that gets you. What if the farmer goes back and there's no harvest? He goes, forget it. I don't care. Somebody else is going to come back 4 months later with the combines. Thank you very much. Because the Bible says there's some who reap where they haven't sown. And that's the people who are faithful. Let's be the people who are faithful. And we keep doing what's right because it's right. And we never quit. Tell the person next to you, never quit. When you think of perseverance, I'm almost done. I'm going to pray for you. When you think of perseverance, a lot of times we think of like a long distance race, right? But Walter Elliott said this, perseverance is not a long race. It's many short races, one after the other. And that's how trials are. It seems like they come and, like I said, sometimes they even overlap, but it's one, and we just have to make up our mind, I'm never going to quit. Amen? Guys, that's a mindset. It's a mindset. Anybody watching Ultimate Fighter? You see those guys that didn't make weight? Did you see that? They're quitters. They're quitters. And you might say, yeah, but it's hard. That's mean. No, they signed up. I want to be a professional athlete. I want to be the best in the world, knowing what was required. And when game day came, they quit because they're weak. I can't do it. Then you shouldn't have signed on the line. Why did I have to watch you for 10 weeks and then see you quit? I'm glad I never cheered for either one of them. I think the chicks could have beat them up. You can't win if you quit. You can't win if you quit. They even told one guy he wasn't going to make weight. You know what they told him? You have an hour, just try hard anyway. That way you didn't quit. You didn't make the weight, but you didn't quit. No. I like Dana White. Get out. He's like Jesus sometimes. If you quit, it's not okay. If you try and you can't make it, Jesus picks you up. And he's going to give you strength. Amen? Just don't quit. How many people want Jesus to help you? Don't quit. He's not going to help you if you quit. But if you keep going, he's going to help you. Yeah, but I feel like I can't get... He's going to give you the strength that comes from his might. The glory strength to endure the unendurable. You're going to make it. Don't quit. Look, this is not meant to... Some people are discouraged. This is not a discouraging message. It's preparing you to embrace the grind. That's real life. Real life is what I'm telling you right now. It's hard. Right now you're hearing this. You're like, this is hard. This is difficult. This is not encouraging. You know what? It might not be encouraging. It's like wrestling practice. My son is on the wrestling team. He just quit playing football. They just finished football, and then now he's wrestling. And he says, Dad, man, it's crazy. Football practice was 3 hours. Wrestling practice is 3 hours. They're not the same thing. I said, I know. We always loved the football players who came to wrestling and thought they were in shape. And our coach laughed. Like, that was enjoyable. Because you think standing around talking about plays. In wrestling, ain't no talking about nothing. It's like, get down there and do it again. Harder, longer, sweat. Now we're going to run. You like that? Now we're going to do that again. My son told me, Dad, we did double leg takedowns today. We've been doing them every day this week. I said, son, let me tell you something about wrestling. He said, what? I said, you can be on the Olympic team and you're going to do double leg takedowns every day. From now till forever. It's the basics. Everybody wants to be all crazy. Christians want to be all crazy. It's not crazy. It's simple. It's the basics. Every day, get up, spend time in the Word of God. Every day, get up, spend time in prayer. Loving Jesus, loving people. It's the basics. Every day, every day, every day, never quit. You know why they train them that hard for 3 hours? Because you're going to go to a tournament. You're going to have matches that are 3 2-minute periods, 6 minutes of 100%. And you could wrestle 8 of those in one day. You might be thinking right now in that comfortable chair in the air conditioning, it's not that bad. We'll throw a wrestler on top of you right now. And we'll let you think what you think about that in about 30 seconds. When your whole body says, I quit. That's why they train them that hard. That's why I'm trying to get you in your mind to understand that life is hard, but you can make it. Life is hard, but you can make it. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation, but what? I have overcome the world. Somebody say amen. Amen. Jesus has overcome the world. Amen. We're training you hard because life is hard. It's not going to be easy, but Jesus said, I will be with you. Come on, let's be standing together. I want to read some verses over you. Here's a quote that I don't want you to miss. By perseverance, the snail reached the ark. Hey, that's why it took Noah 100 years to build it. Because God said, go! And the snail started. He made it. Let me read these verses over you again. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every and the sin which easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. I speak that over your life. You will run with endurance. You will complete the race that's set before you. Because we're going to be looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Come on, he's our example, guys. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. When we're going through it, let's remember that Jesus went through it for us. That he didn't just show us how, but he comes and empowers us to make it. Greater is he who's in you than he that's in the world. Any trial that you're facing, your God is bigger. Your God is greater. You are going to make it. You are victorious in Christ Jesus. You have the victory right now. Just determine in your mind that you're never going to quit in Jesus' name. I speak that over your life. You can embrace the grind. You will train your spiritual life to handle any trial and any battle that comes your way. Come on, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight, and thank you for every person that's here. Lord, I know that there's people in this room tonight that are going through difficult trials. Some of them through the hardest trials of their lives. Lord, you know every trial. You know every situation. Lord, you know every person. You know every fear. Lord, your word says you even know the number of hairs on our head. You know every detail of everything that we're going through, and you care about us, Lord. And your word says to cast all of our care upon you because you care for us. Lord, tonight, I pray that you would come and give us that glory strength that comes from you, the strength that comes from your might. Come on, receive that right now, that God is going to strengthen you. He is pouring out his spirit on you right now. Lord, give us that God's strength inside of us, that you would raise us up, that we could make it through these trials. Lord, not only that we would make it, but we determine tonight that we are finished complaining in Jesus' name. Come on, right now, know that complaining is a negative confession. Okay, just receive this right now. I'm not rebuking you. I'm teaching you, okay? Just receive this. Complaining is a negative confession that takes away your strength, that takes away your spirit of conquest, and takes you out of the power and the strength of God. Right now, no more complaining. Positive confessions of faith, the word of God. We are going to speak it over our lives, and we're going to believe it. And God's going to come in your situation and strengthen you. Come on, if you're in a difficult trial right now, just lift your hands. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, for every person, pour out that glory strength that you give. Lord, we don't want to just gut it out and try to make it. We need you to come in and strengthen us, that every night when we go to sleep, Lord, that you would renew our strength the same as your mercy every single morning, that we would wake up with new strength for a new day. Lord, I speak that right now in Jesus' name, that we are conquering one day at a time by your strength, by your will, by your power, by your grace, by your love, by your mercy. Lord, that you love every person in this place, that they are sons and daughters of the Most High God, that you will not leave us, Lord. You will not forsake us. Lord, you will not abandon us, but Lord, you will strengthen us and uphold us with your mighty right hand. I speak that over your life right now, that God will vindicate you, that God will raise you up, because his heart is towards you. His positive thoughts towards you are more numerous than the numbers of grains of sand on the seashore. That when you wake up in the morning, that the Lord is awake and waiting for you for that day, and he's speaking blessing over your life. Lord, I just speak right now, every person in this room has enough grace to continue until the day of Christ Jesus. Every person has enough grace to continue until the day of Christ Jesus. Not one of you is going to quit. Every one of you is going to cross the finish line in glory. You are going to make it because of his love and his mercy. Determine today to give him your whole heart with all that you are. And Lord, in the end, we promise to give you all the praise, because you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.